Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time.
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah.
I finished these fights.
Give me a hell yeah.
Top Rope Nation.
Learn to love it. It's the best thing going today.
What's up, you guys? Welcome back to Top Rope Nation. This is episode 281 of the show, the 2023 WWE Royal Rumble preview. Got a special one here for you, a real treat in store. We brought in the big guns to preview the Royal Rumble. It's Ryan Drossy, but I'm not referring to myself. I am referring to my co-host tonight from Pro Wrestling Torch, the assistant editor of Pro Wrestling Torch, Mr. Zach Haydorn. Zach, welcome back to Top Rope Nation.
Man, Ryan, it's great to be here. I'm glad you invited me to be on. As we were talking off air, it's been a hot second. Been a little too long since we've been able to do a show together. And Royal Rumble season's always fun, so I'm super pumped to be here, man.
I was looking through our archive, and I'm trying to figure out when the last time you were on the show was. And unless I forgot to type your name into a show description, which could have happened, the last one I pulled up was the Wrestling's Best TV Matches Draft in October of 21. Could that be the last time?
I think that was the last time. Because I remember having that show was really, really fun. It's almost like, you kind of ride off into the sunset on a good note. Because that was a blast of a show. But yeah, I think that was it. That's the last time. I think you and I did a show maybe once with the Torch. Since then. But yeah, it's been a bit. So I'm pumped to be here, man. Thanks for asking.
Absolutely. I know the listeners always enjoy having you on, so this should be a good show. And yeah, we've done quite a few shows. Now, it wasn't really working out schedule-wise because you've asked me a few times to do Fireside Chat and some of the Torch shows, and both of us got kids running around and we haven't been able to work it out. So I'm really glad that this worked out, but I have seen you, Zach.
Yes.
The last time we did a pod together. Let me just throw this up on the screen. Remember that day?
Oh, right, look at that. Look at that. Look at that fine group of gentlemen right there.
Me and Zach.
Man, that was a fun day, dude.
Yeah. Tim, Jesse Velasquez, good friends of the show. That was in Chicago right before All Out. Little did we know what we had in store.
Yes.
That night.
Boy, of all the things that we talked about that may or may not happen, it all ended up failing in comparison to what actually did happen.
Right.
So yeah, boy, that was, man, I'll tell you, it's freezing cold weather now. It's been snowing here all day. It's like, man, early September sounds pretty darn good. We were able to get outside and a couple beverages on the old patio there. So boy, that was a fun weekend, man.
It was slightly windy. And I remember thinking, boy, I don't know about sitting outside, but you had picked a spot that was kind of shielded from the wind. But even with that wind, I would give anything for that weather right now compared to how it is here in the upper Midwest.
Yes. No question. No question.
Yeah.
Shoveled too much already. So, yeah.
Absolutely. So, hey guys, before we get into the Rumble and the card here, I want to point out this is the second time now we have streamed here on the SE Scoops YouTube channel. So again, big shout out to SE Scoops for partnering up with the show and streaming this on their YouTube channel, on the social networks and everything. And each and every week you can find over on SEScoops.com the show links, the audio, the video as well. So that's been a really, really good partnership. I mean, we saw our listenership go up quite a bit last week, so we appreciate everyone who tuned in. And if you're looking for Justin and Kyle, obviously they couldn't do the show tonight, but Kyle did drop a bonus show over on our Patreon feed yesterday, a new Top Rope Nation extra. He looked at the much maligned WWE Raw's top 30 moments list that came out from WWE and critiqued it. And I think if you enjoy this show, you will like that one. There's a 15-minute teaser on our main feed. If you want to hear the whole thing, sign up, become a patron. Link here in the podcast description. And then it's been a busy week because Justin, Kyle, and myself, two nights ago, recorded this month's Top Rope Nation Classics. We looked at Royal Rumble 94. Really good stuff. I'm going to be dropping the podcast version of that to patrons this weekend, but the video version is available on Patreon right now. You see the names of all of our wonderful patrons going across the bottom of the screen, and we appreciate each and every one of you for your continued support of Top Rope Nation. So that said, Zach, let's jump into it. Royal Rumble season. I mean, even no matter how closely you're watching WWE at the moment, and I know a lot of our listeners have kind of been in and out of WWE, myself included, how can you not get excited about the Royal Rumble? I mean, what, you know, even if it's maybe not as high as other years, it's still the Royal Rumble. I mean, this is, outside of WrestleMania, my favorite WWE event of the year. Zach, what is your excitement level going into Saturday night?
I mean, the Royal Rumble always, you know, boosts the excitement just because it's a fun event. And I think, you know, it's a show that has like big stakes to it. And I think like it kind of just, it proves the point that, you know, having stakes for matches really, really help excitement and momentum, because this is the, you know, this is the big one. You know, this is, you know, you're going to find out half of, at the very least, half your WrestleMania main event in all likelihood, at least on the men's side for sure. And that's just exciting, you know? And so, and you couple that excitement with the surprises that are always in store, the fact that it's going to be a big stadium show, the fact that it's on a Saturday night. So it's kind of it can be a social event. Not that it wasn't on Sundays, but it's easier for that to happen on a Saturday night. And so, yeah, like I'm super excited about it. I have some, you know, some casual friends that, not casual friends, casual fans who are friends. That
get
are
out of my house.
Get out of the house. You silly casual friend. That, you know, that are, they're excited about it too. And, you know, we do a little like Royal Rumble game or whatever. So like from a watching wrestling standpoint, I think it's always a fun weekend, and it kicks off kind of like, you know, busy season of being a wrestling fan. And there's other times throughout the year, obviously SummerSlam is big, but you know, between Saturday night and WrestleMania, like that's the hot period of time. And so we get going on that. And then when you bring in kind of what they've built, I think it's, you know, top heavy, I guess, mm-hmm. like would be the nice way to put it. And that's not always a bad thing. I don't say that to like ridicule WWE's booking here, because I think they've got it top heavy in two directions. In either direction they go, Sami Zayn or Cody Rhodes on the men's side, I think they're going to net out at a pretty good place. After that, though, there's a pretty steep drop, I think, in interest in terms of who could win this thing. But all in all, it's Royal Rumble weekend, and I think, you know, that's it's just a fun time to be a wrestling fan. So nothing wrong with that.
I was going to ask you, when you look at this card, and you know, you're a bit of a wrestling historian, so when you compare this to past Royal Rumbles, is this one of the most maybe predictable cards top to bottom, like to predict the winners of each match? And it's not necessarily a bad thing. I mean, some of the best Rumbles in history, you had a predictable winner going in. But even outside the Rumbles, I mean, just the undercard matches as well, when you look at this thing from top to bottom, this comes through my mind because we did a predictions piece over on SC Scoops earlier today, and it's rare where all of the writers agree on the winner of every single match, mm-hmm. and we were all like lockstep on every single one. I mean, can you think of another one that even compares, or is this one of the more predictable cards?
I mean, this is for sure one of the more predictable cards for sure. I mean, in terms of stuff that's standing out, I mean, like a lot of times you at least, especially when there were two, you know, world titles those years, like, mm-hmm. you know, I mean, things could go a lot of different directions when you've got that going on in shows. But because, you know, there's one men's world title, because, you know, you've got like a crazy pitch black match that I think everybody is just interested in to see what kind of disaster is going to unfold. Yeah. When you've got like a women's championship match that like you could convince yourself and make an argument that it's going to go potentially a certain way, but you know, I think, you know, logic tells you it's not going to. And then you add on to that, like pretty sure bets as far as like who's going to win those Royal Rumble matches. There's not a lot of like drama in who's going to win. I think for me, it's like, and like you said, you hit the nail on the head. That's not always a bad thing. Like, it would be a bad thing if you go into this and you've got like your 1A and 1B winners for the Men's Royal Rumble. And then, you know, like somebody random, like it, Finn Balor or something, wins the Royal Rumble. Like that would not, it would be a surprise, yes.
Yeah,
but it
yeah.
would not be a good surprise because, you know, it's not that like that he's just not in that position. So you don't want a total surprise like that. And so for that reason, I think it's okay. So I'm okay with it. I don't need everything to be like a total mystery, because I think the mystery of a lot of these matches is what, how the matches go, like, especially with, you know, the Kevin Owens versus Roman Reigns match, like, how is that going to play out? How does Sami Zayn factor into whatever that finish is going to be? Is he going to factor into that at all? Is he going to be in the Royal Rumble match itself? And if he is, how does the Cody story and the Sami Zayn story coexist? Same thing with Bianca Belair and Alexa Bliss. Like, you've got Alexa Bliss that's living in like kind of a superpower world of WWE again, or at least trending that way. So how do you get out of that match? So I think there is some mystery in what they do. But yeah, the outcomes, this for sure, certainly in recent memory, this would be, you know, high up on the list as far as pretty predictable, unless there's a big curveball thrown.
Yeah. You look at those undercard matches and in the two title matches, the Wyatt match. I mean, I can't imagine them going any way but one. And then, you know, the Rumbles, as we're going to get into, there's a clear cut winner, I think, on the women's side. And then you can make the argument for two on the men's side. But, you know, last week, Justin and I in the show, we went through and we looked at every single Royal Rumble and we talked about if it was the right winner or not. And Justin said to him, there was 9 winners in the history of the event that were no brainers. Like, they had to go that direction. It was the right call. And I mean, those are some of the best Rumbles. So even if it only is Sammy or Cody, and, you know, predominantly Cody, who most people expect to win, I mean, look at 92, Flair was a clear cut choice, or 96, Shawn, or 98, you know, Austin, or 05, mm-hmm. Batista, and down the line, Drew in 2020, which was a really good Rumble. You know, it could still be a good match and still have some excitement. And hey, if you're out there gambling and you're doing one of those Rumble pools, you don't know what number these people are coming out at. So you might win some money either way, right? So
absolutely. Yeah. I mean, you're right. When you, like, I think that's part of the, for me, that's like part of the fun of the Royal Rumble. Like, don't get me wrong, I like a mystery going into these shows. And I think if you can build up, you know, 4 or 5 people who can conceivably win, that's good. It just makes for like a different kind of good Royal Rumble. I think if you have somebody that's kind of simmering, right, and they're getting to that point, and the Royal Rumble is like the big launching pad, I think that works really well. Austin, like you mentioned, Shawn, not that these guys weren't stars beforehand, but it was like it launched them into like that. Okay, they're going to go in main event WrestleMania now and wrestle for the championship. Drew is another big one. To me, like those are the most fun, even if they're the most predictable. I think that you can make the argument that they're just fun to watch a star born in that way. And it makes for entertaining matches.
Yeah. So this will be the 4th time the Rumble has taken place in San Antonio, interestingly enough. 97, of course, at the Alamo Dome. 3 of the 4 have been at the Alamo Dome. So 97 was... 2017 was at the Alamo Dome. 2007 was the AT&T Center. Remember the Spurs play? So they were going like every 10 years after 97. Jumped the gun here a little bit by 4 years, going back to San Antonio for the 4th time. And like you said, going to be a big crowd. Always fun to watch the stadium shows. Adds a extra level of excitement to the show. And I guess, you know, let's just start off with the undercard. Talk about these matches a little bit. You mentioned Bray Wyatt and LA Knight and the Mountain Dew Pitch Black match? And most importantly, Zach, I think I have to ask you right away, have you had Mountain Dew Pitch Black?
I have not. It's like, I think I may make a point to not ever have it after this nonsense. No, have you?
I have not, but I was listening to a podcast today that our friend of the show, Ben Cruz, is doing over at The Ringer, and they were talking about it. And the review I heard was it tasted like flat grape soda. So apparently that's what Pitch Black is, which doesn't sound great.
Was that a good, was that a glowing review of the product? Or
no, there was three of them on there, and two of them really didn't like it. And one was like, yeah, it's mid with all the Mountain Dew products. So,
well, then even more reason to not like this match.
Yeah. I mean, everyone that listens to the show knows what we think about Bray Wyatt and the supernatural garbage and Uncle Howdy. LA Knight, you know, he's shown something. He's a really good talker on the mic. I think that, you know, he's clearly not going to win this match unless there's some kind of shenanigans with the Uncle Howdy nonsense. But I think he slotted himself, LA Knight, into being kind of a, you know, an upper mid tier type wrestler. He could maybe hold a secondary title. You know, he's not going to ever be world champion in this promotion. I don't think that's the case. So they're clearly going to push Bray here. Again, we don't know what the match is going to look like, but I see no possible way Wyatt doesn't win here.
Yeah, no way. I mean, that, and if for some reason that happens, I think that'd be a really big mistake. This is a Bray Wyatt match to win. I find it just bizarre that this is kind of the first reintroduction of Bray Wyatt's matches. It's going to happen under this type of circumstance. I mean, there's so much to be said for his in-ring run or his first in-ring run with the company. And to me, like, if you're Triple H and you're the creative team, like, you want to put him in a position where he can have a really, really great match out of the gate. And now instead he's going to have this sponsored Pitch Black match. And regardless of how it plays out, I mean, you know, it's going to be some kind of silliness, even if it's like a fun silliness, even if it's something that, you know, you chuckle at or go, oh, that's pretty cool. You're not showcasing, you know, Bray Wyatt in the best light with this thing. And with so much doubt around whether or not his characters can translate into a match in the ring, this seems to be like another crutch to hide that for a little bit longer. And so I'm not a fan. I do want to see it to see what the heck it's going to be, but I'm not expecting too much. If this thing lasts, you know, more than 5 minutes, I'll be very surprised. And that's probably a bad call if you're WWE creative.
Yeah, you don't want to expose the in-ring this early with him finally getting back in the ring. I mean, yeah, it's what have you made of him since his return? Because when he first came back, I was hoping, because I, believe it or not, you know, the initial Bray Wyatt, like, swamp, dark feeling, like, the, you know, the Wyatt family, I really liked him during that era. I felt they really blew it with him on numerous occasions. Mm-hmm. Hated the Fiend, hated the Funhouse stuff. And when he came back, I was so hopeful that we would finally ditch all the Fiend stuff, the Funhouse. And when I saw Uncle Howdy, it's like, oh no, here we go again. And we're really going to wrap in Alexa Bliss in this crap again. Maybe you're on totally opposite side of the fence, Zach, but I mean, what have you thought so far?
No. I'm on the same side of the fence. I mean, I'm willing to see it play out, but everything that I've seen so far is more of the same and not anything that would tell me, oh, okay, they're going a different direction. They've pivoted to a way to make this work. For me, the biggest thing is, I don't know what the hell the story is at this point. I mean, like, I know that we know Uncle Howdy's around. We know that he's got some kind of connection to Bray Wyatt, but we don't really know how, and we don't really know why. You know, we don't know the relationship there. And I think when you lose that part of your narrative and you lose that part of the story, it's hard to connect, you know, with Bray or with Uncle Howdy or whoever. And I think that that's happened on multiple occasions where you just don't know, like, what's happening with this guy. And you only will care for so long. And I'm already getting to that point where I'm watching this stuff and I'm going, okay, like, great. So what did that promo mean? Like what are we talking about here? What are we doing? And I think, you know, Bray is ambitious with his creative and where he wants to take his characters. But the bottom line is this is pro wrestling. So it has to end in the ring at some point. That's the be all end all. If you don't have that, you're missing a big key ingredient. And we just have not seen that from him on this run or before. So I'm not, again, I'm willing to see it play out, but man, I mean, based on what we've seen and we're going to this pitch black match, like I would not hold my breath that this is going to turn into something where I go, hey, you know what? Like that was thumbs up.
Got to rewatch that immediately.
Yeah. Rewatch that immediately. Like, right. I don't get that sense at all that's coming.
I mean, at least it's not, what was it, the Army of the Dead match or whatever they did with the zombies.
Right. Well, we don't know yet, but yeah.
I guess I am speaking too soon. It could be much worse than that.
don't go giving them ideas to like loop in zombies into this thing. Okay. Well,
I mean, yeah, no kidding. You said it though with Bray and the promos, and it's kind of ends up like, where are we going here? That's kind of been his MO throughout his time with WWE. There's no question he's a super creative guy. Tries to do too much. The promos are too wordy. He loses you. And that's kind of the problem. The whole story just needs to be easier to follow, I think. You can still do creative things, but have it be more concise and logical and easy to follow. And same goes for the promos. So,
like, I think if you had a Bray Wyatt that came back and everything is the same, like everything is the same, but you ditch Uncle Howdy. And you just have this Bray Wyatt who is in WWE to try to right the wrongs and, you know, correct the sins of his past and just is like wasting these heels left and right. Like, I think that's a Bray Wyatt that can get over. You know, yeah. I think that's a Bray Wyatt that people will cheer and like and want to see win. Because there's that, you know, there's a weird, odd sympathy with him, I think.
Mm-hmm.
And people just, I think, genuinely like the act because he is so compelling. It just exists too far off of like the regular wrestling path. And once you're off it, man, I mean, he has not been able to get back on. And it's, but I think that there's an avenue for success there, but he just leans this other direction. And I think he really loses momentum because of it.
Let me ask you this, because this is something we've talked about on the show before. And I put out a clip of us talking about this once on TikTok, on our TikTok account. It really got people talking. And I think it was definitely Kyle, and I agreed with him. He was talking about how this whole like cartoony dark stuff that he does just doesn't work in modern wrestling. And you know, like the comparison obviously is Taker, but Taker was born out of the cartoony 80s, early 90s period, and so it worked. But like to do that now, Kyle was arguing, it just doesn't work in today's world, and you can't keep the fans with it. And we've also seen House of Black, like Aleister Black tends to do a little too much of that. Yeah. And that hasn't worked either. Do you think it's even possible for that kind of story to work in today's world?
Very difficult. I mean, I think and I say it difficult, not just because it's like, oh, we're not in the, you know, the cartoonish 80s, early 90s, it's that think of all the pro wrestling acts that there've been, you know, all the successful acts that there's been throughout the years. And there's one Undertaker, like none of the other kind of, I mean, and Kane to an extent, I guess, but you know, but and a lot of Kane though is rooted in the Undertaker and the fact that worked. The track record for strong, you know, long-term acts that kind of go the supernatural route is not good. And you can throw out the Undertaker, but he's more of the exception to the rule than he is the rule itself, because he was just so good, right time, right place, right gimmick. And he had the ability to kind of mold that gimmick throughout the years and change it. And, you know, when they were in the Attitude Era, it got less spooky and voodoo-y and more, you know, just like Attitude Era style stuff. So he was able to mold that. And so nobody's been able to pull it off like he has. And so it's a heavy lift no matter what. But the great thing about The Undertaker was it's still all in the end revolved around what happened in the ring. You know, he still was wrestling for championships. He still was having main event matches, you know, whatever he debuted Survivor Series. He's wrestling, you know, he's wrestling Hulk Hogan. He's had matches against The Rock, against Steve Austin, you know, good, memorable matches. And we just haven't seen that from Bray. And like I said, the Undertaker was able to translate that gimmick into something that works in the ring, and Bray and a host of others have not been able to do that. Yeah. So I agree with that premise for sure.
I think the original Wyatt family Bray could work because it was close enough to reality, you know, like the weird, almost like a weirdo murderer type, you know, living out in the woods kind of thing. That will work because you could actually believe it to be real life. The Fiend, the puppets.
As soon as you put like supernatural into it, you're risking just kind of losing the thread. You know, you're just risking that. But I'm like you. Like I was really hot on the Wyatt family act. You know, when it first started. Like this is cool. Like it's creepy.
Cult leader cool. Wyatt. You know that works.
Yes.
That's like a term I was looking for.
Like the bright color shirt leader. And the hat. Yeah. That worked. But boy, I mean, it's pivoted all sorts of different directions since then.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens in this Mountain Dew Pitch Black match. I am sure Sunday morning, we're going to be reviewing the show Sunday morning. So the following morning, tune in live here on the live stream channels. It'll be me and Kyle. We'll have plenty to say about it. Zach, let's look at, I guess it's related because we don't know what's going on with Alexa Bliss. So Raw Women's Championship match, Bianca Belair, Alexa Bliss. This is super easy to call. I mean, it would be madness to take the belt off of Belair, closing in on 1 year with the title. You know, they got the built-in match with Ripley that they should build out of the Rumble, I think. To move the title to Bliss for shock value, I don't see any way that this happens whatsoever. Again, with Alexa Bliss, I was kind of hoping she would get back to her old character and not mess with the doll and the voodoo and all of that. Mm-hmm. So not a huge fan of teasing this relationship again. I assume you're picking Bianca Belair.
Definitely.
Okay.
It would be a pretty
if not you're off the show, man.
Yeah. You're not qualified to be on this thing. Yeah. I mean, I feel like you could, if you wanted to make arguments or try to, you know, come up with a reason to convince yourself that Alexa Bliss is going to win, you know, whatever, you could probably fantasy your book your way there, but it just doesn't make any sense. Like at this point in time, for one thing, and maybe the most important thing, Bianca Belair, I think, has gotten a little cold, like the back half of 2022 and into 2023. And man, you know, if you take away the one strong thing that she has, which is she's been champion for close to a year now.
Yeah.
You know, she loses a lot because she doesn't have it going on right now elsewhere with the act and with her character. So I think she needs to have that title. Like if she wants to play in the arena of having like a major key match at WrestleMania, you know, she needs to have that championship because she doesn't. Like, I think she kind of falls down a couple notches on the priority chart of the women's division on Raw. So like for that reason alone, I go that direction, but really it just doesn't make any sense. Alexa Bliss has not been presented as somebody who is going to be the champion. And as you mentioned, Ryan, there's a big match looming for them to go to with a huge show coming up in April. So to me, this easy call, Bianca Belair retains.
Yeah. On the men's side, okay, Roman Reigns defending against Kevin Owens. I mean, would be even crazier to do something here. There's no chance, zero chance Roman Reigns loses the title. Now, him and Kevin Owens, they've had great matches at the Rumble before. I think this is the third time out of the last seven Rumbles they have worked a match at the Rumble. And the other two are really good. So, I mean, I expect it to be a good match. I'm all for Kevin Owens' push to the top, but not at the expense of this multi-year Roman Reigns title run. There's just no chance. I mean, obviously the bigger story is what happens with Sami Zayn. Is he going to be in the Rumble? We don't even know, but you know, how is he going to show his loyalty to Roman Reigns here? Does he get involved in the finish? You would expect with the story they've been building. I mean, easily this has been the most watchable part of WWE for months now. When I'm not tuning into a show live, this is the only thing I seek out to watch is the Roman Sami stuff with the Usos. And I love the segment Monday night. I love the trial segment. That was extremely well done. Loved how they built up Jay coming to his aid there at the end after months and months of him being so suspicious of him. I mean, so not only do they have Sami Roman to go to, but Sami Jay too. They come out of this with some great options, and they've made Sami a star again. You know, this guy has that. We'll talk about this with the Rumble, but he has that organic momentum behind him that sometimes in WWE, just you don't get that hardly ever anymore. It feels like you go years without seeing that. And he definitely has it right now at the best time of the year. We'll talk plenty about Sami in the Rumble, I think, here. But I mean, obviously Roman retaining. Your thoughts, Zach?
Well, yeah, Roman retaining for sure. And it's absolutely the right call. I think what I look for now in Roman Reigns' title defenses is, you know, or at least up until now, because now that we're getting into WrestleMania, I think there's you may see like, okay, I think they're really going to, you know, go with somebody else here and actually, you know, beat Reigns. But until now, it's just been like, okay, can you get me for 15 minutes or whatever the match is going to be to suspend disbelief, like for that 15 minutes and just kind of think, oh, well, maybe they'll go with Drew McIntyre here, or maybe Riddle can pull off the upset. And I think they've done that with Kevin Owens. I think they've told like a good enough story where, you know, when you're watching the match, you'll be able to buy into the fact that Kevin Owens could maybe win this thing. He's not going to, but I think the goal is, can you plant that, maybe that little bit of seed of doubt, and can the match help that seed to grow into something? And I think they've laid that foundation. So I'm excited for the match. They always work well together. They have a good chemistry. As you mentioned, they've had good matches at the Royal Rumble, good matches on other pay-per-views as well. So this is, I'm sure this is going to fall right in line with that. But yeah, the question is all about Sami Zayn and then what they do, how or if Sami gets involved. And if he does get involved, in what way? Like, do we see him actually turn on the bloodline or help Roman Reigns win the match? We don't know. But that makes it compelling as well. So I'm excited for this match, not because I think Kevin Owens is going to win, but because of all the other moving parts that are around it. And it's such an interesting feud. It's been going on for so long. Roman Reigns, I mean, man, has just been on another level in terms of his ability to work matches and come across like a big star and, you know, like tell this kind of intricate bloodline story with a lot of different characters, whether it's the Usos or it's Solo Sikoa or Paul Heyman, Sami Zayn, of course. So he's just been supremely like impressive, like these last since the run started, really, since he came back after the COVID hiatus. And, you know, if it all is going to come to a screeching halt this weekend, because, or not a halt, but if it's going to pivot in a big way, because Sami Zayn is going to be on the outs, that it's like, it's almost like we haven't even really gotten to the actual story yet, because that's, you know, that's going to be really interesting to watch. I mean, the heat that Roman's going to have when, you know, he's going up against Sami Zayn or even Cody for that matter, like is going to be significant. And that you just haven't seen that type of investment in a character in a while in WWE. And in this instance, you're going to have it on both sides. I think whether it's Cody or whether it's Sami, you know, you're going to have equally hot acts colliding head on. And that's, you know, that's a recipe for some really good wrestling.
What did he say on Raw? Roman told him to finish out his duties on Raw, and then he didn't want to see him again until the Rumble. So I don't know what kind of twist they could throw in on SmackDown tomorrow night, but it's going to be really, really interesting to see when they do that shift in the story, because I know the word was for a while that they were going to do Roman Sammy in Montreal at Elimination Chamber, that they were going to wrestle at that show.
Yeah.
And that there was plans for the Usos to take on KO and Sammy at WrestleMania. But obviously the momentum Sammy has made an argument for something else. I mean, do they could either move the you could have the shift this weekend if they're going to do that match in Montreal, or they do the turn in Montreal and Sammy will get just a crazy pop, you know, when he turns on the Bloodline if it's in his hometown. So it's really enticing. I'm not going to lie. I mean, been very negative on WWE for a long time, but I want it to be good television. I got to talk about it on podcast, and there's some good stuff there. I mean, yeah, 3 hours worth of Raw is a slog to get through, but there's portions of the show that are really entertaining. This is really good stuff and gives me reason to be excited for the show. And I just don't know what they're going to do. And that's when wrestling's the best. So we'll see, but they've got some options. They got some big decisions ahead of them. So we'll hit on more on that with the men's Rumble. Before we do, let's get to the women's Rumble. And boy, Zach, this is a mess. What, they have seven people announced for this? I believe
they have seven people announced. Seven or I thought maybe I counted nine earlier, but I could be thinking of something else. Either way, yeah. not enough. Not enough with a few days to go before the show. You said it, man. I mean, it's a mess. I mean, it really is a mess. And I think it's a mess on multiple levels. I mean, for one thing, you know, you just don't have enough like top talent that's talking about winning this match. I mean, even if you look at the men's side of things, yeah, it's a two horse race, and we'll talk about that in a minute. But there's probably like four or five names that you could like reasonably make an argument for. Here, it's like, man, what, you know, where are they going? I mean, it's just not there. And then, you know, if you stipulate to the fact that the champions are going to be the same going into WrestleMania, Bianca Belair and Charlotte Flair, you know, the two winners that you could potentially kind of see genuinely coming out of this really don't make sense for either of those opponents. And it leaves like a big women's star not involved in something at WrestleMania. And I don't think that's good either. So unless you're going to do like a triple threat, which gets everybody into a tizzy always, and because generally it means it's like Bears quarterbacks. If you have more than one, you don't have any. But if you have triple threat match, you don't really have like the best, you know, championship match that you can have at WrestleMania. And so, you know, I think that there's a clear winner here, and I think that there's an argument for another. But man, it's not a layup because of those matches that are kind of out there and what they and the residual effect they'll have on the rest of the card at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I mean, the list I'm looking at here, they've got announced Liv, Candice LeRae, Ripley, Raquel, Baszler, Zelina Vega, and Emma. That's it. I mean, you got to get 23 more people. Most of these women's rumbles that they've done. Look, man, I'm a girl dad. I'm all for equal opportunity. But most of the women's rumbles have not been good. It's tough because you got to go over the top rope to the floor, and they rely so much on bringing back old acts that just weren't to the level in ring that the current crop of women are. You know, I think the current crop's more capable of doing this than a lot of the names that they bring back from the past. And just the eliminations themselves is hard to do with some of them. And they're going to be relying on some of these past, a lot of past names, most likely. Looking at this list, I mean, hopefully you get some NXT talent in there, but boy, yeah, the odds makers on this have Ripley the favorite, and then they have Becky next, Bailey, then Raquel.
That's a steep drop. I mean,
yeah,
like Bailey's not winning the Royal Rumble.
No. And then they got Bliss, and then they got Asuka, and then they have Liv. I mean, yeah.
It's tough, man. I mean, yeah. I mean, I'm with you. Like that's a big, you know. You need a lot of people, and I just when you look at the women on the roster, like and who's featured on a regular basis, like that's kind of it's not that many women. If you think about it, like I'm sure like Io Sky is going to be in this match. I'm sure Dakota Kai is going to be in this match. I would imagine, you know, even like, you know, Toxic Attraction is going to be in this. JC Jane and GG Dolan will be in it. But you know, you can get to like 15, 20, probably like pretty quick, but man, that last 10, it's like, boy, what do you do? And how do you keep those surprises fresh year to year? They're the same usually, you know, like Michelle McCool will come back or Kelly will come back. And it's like Beth Phoenix, I'm sure is going to be involved in this in some way. So it's like, how do you keep those surprises fresh? And it's like, what you end up seeing is like a similar match year after year after year after year. And I think this is the same thing. You know, I would like try to throw a curveball to make this thing like memorable in a really big way. And I think Rhea Ripley is how you can do that. She has a lot of momentum right now, and not just in the women's division. Like, she's standing toe to toe with like putting Luke Gallows through a table, or she's staring down Solo Sikoa, right? I would throw out if I was in a creative meeting, like, what if we have Rhea just like eliminate like 20 people and just have her go completely crazy, put her over huge, you know, and then, you know, build to that match with Bianca Belair at WrestleMania. Like, if there's ever a year to do something like that, this is it, because the depth just isn't there. But we'll see. We'll see what they do. But I mean, to me, it's you go with Rhea Ripley here. Although, you know, I don't know what you do with Becky if you do that, but, you know, maybe that's just a problem to solve later.
I love that idea of just having her eliminate people left and right, because why not? Yeah, it's going to be a pretty thin roster. I just looked it up. The record for most eliminations in a women's rumble is just 8, and the record for the men's is 13. So why not have her break both of them? I'd have her throw like 14, 15 and just put that on her record. Like, she has the most Royal Rumble eliminations of anyone, men or women, of all time. I agree. Her momentum finally has come back, because, you know, leaving 2019, going into early 2020, she was on fire coming out of that NXT run. She had so much momentum. WrestleMania didn't do her any favors that year. And, you know, she struggled for a while, but you're right. It's not just on the women's side. Like, the show in general, she has regained so much momentum that you gotta have her win here. It got the built-in match with Bianca Belair they can do. Yeah, I'm for sure picking Rhea Ripley in this one.
Me too, definitely. I mean, it's the way to go. I mean, she really has had an incredible back half of the year. I mean, you think of where she was. I think middle of the year, she was doing stuff with Nikki A.S.H., you know, like as a tag team. It's like, man, you look at that Rhea Ripley compared to now, there's a big difference there. And not only that, not only is she like making herself like a complete character, but she's like Dominic Mysterio jumps off the page better with her at his side. And so she's helping that group too in the whole Judgment Day fashion. So this is, and it's not just because there's nobody else, but it's especially because there's nobody else. You just go with it. Go with it.
Yeah. Yep. All right. Well, let's look at the men's rumble here. So got some stats here. Pulled this from the Sporting News. So shout out to the Sporting News. If you look at the numbers, so for those of you who do the Royal Rumble pools and you're looking to win some money, here you go. The top four numbers that have the best chance at winning the Rumble match. Number 30, 4 times an entrant has won from number 30. Number 27, number 27, 4 times have won. 4 people have won from number 27. This is just on the men's side. Number 1, 3 times someone's won from number 1. And number 24, 3 times people have won from number 24. So 30, 27, 1, and 24 are your most likely numbers given the statistics here. So have that in the back of your mind.
That's a wide range.
It is. 30 or 1. 30 Thank or God 1. They're not doing a 40-man rumble again, man. That one was a dog.
Yeah. Well, how long ago was that? That was like, what, 10 years 20, ago, 12 years ago?
Yeah, it was the one Del Rio one, right?
Yeah. So it's 12. Yeah. Geez. So 2012, right?
Yeah.
2011?
That might be right. 2011 or 2012. Yeah.
Yeah. Something like that. Oof. Yeah. That was a slog for sure.
Yeah. Well, we got 16 people announced for the men's rumble. So we're going to get some surprises. I mean, I saw some reports out there that WWE was very satisfied with the surprises they have planned. I mean, there's two of them everyone's talking about as possibilities. Before we get to the big names, who are you looking for as a possible surprise entrant here?
Boy, so I mean, in terms of like kind of classic WWE guys, I mean, I think we haven't seen Edge in a while, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him show up. I don't know what Kevin Nash is up to. I know he had a very tragic thing happened with his son and his family. So I'm not sure if he's even in a position to compete, but or want to or care to or whatever. But with, you know, Triple H at the top, like, to me that makes sense as somebody that they'd approach to mm-hmm. be in it. We saw X-Pac over the weekend or earlier in the week. So I mean, I think he actually came out today and said that he's not going to be mm-hmm. in the match, but hey, it's wrestling and it's Xbox, so you know, never say never.
Always.
Working. I also was that yeah, always working.
Yeah.
I can't take credit for this kind of prediction. It was my co-host on the Far Side Chat on the PW Torch YouTube channel, Tyler. But he threw out Matt Cardona and Nick Aldis as two potential kind of like new signees, or not even just like, you know, just one, you know, one-off type thing that could kind of freshen up the match. And I can see both of those. I can see both of those happening for sure. Man. And then, yeah, you know, I think I'm going to tap out there. I'm not great at the surprises thing.
I listened to a little of your show earlier and I love that idea from Tyler. I would really like to see Cardona in this. And you guys talked about if he would come out as Ryder or Cardona, and I agree that they should just make him Matt Cardona. I think that would be the way to go.
Yep. I agree. What do you think about Aldis? Do you think he fits in WWE?
Yeah, you guys talked about this a little bit too. It is kind of a more hardcore audience that travels in for a show like this, so they would probably know him. I'd worry a little bit, like they want the pops for these. I mean, he'd probably get a good pop. It wouldn't be like when AJ came out as a surprise. He's not
famous.
I think Cardona is more likely for sure. I mean, because the audience already knows him. It's been a few years. I could definitely see that one happening. I don't know if they'd bring him in long term, if it would just be a spot, you know, thing, but we'll see. I think all of those names though, like Edge seems very likely for sure. The big ones out there are Rock and Austin. And boy, if they get Rock in this, they have really kept it under wraps, because you know, all the reports right now are he's out on WrestleMania. A lot of people don't want to buy that, and they think they're just trying to shift the narrative a little bit because they've clearly been building it, you know, for a couple of years now. If they really don't get Rock to do this match, which seems to be the case, according to the reports, that has to be such a downer for them, because everything they have done has built to this match for 2 years. The whole thing with the family, head of the table, everything. And, you know, I know the reports are that Rock doesn't think he can get into ring shape fast enough, which is odd since they would have approached him a long time ago about this. I mean, I know he's got to have the time to train and everything. The guy's ring shape and workout shape are two different things. Don't get me wrong, but
yeah,
you would have thought he would have had a list, you know, the ability to maybe schedule in some time here and there. We were talking about this. I did the Fight Game podcast with Garrett Gonzalez a few weeks ago over on F4W. And they were talking, and Garrett was saying, you know, Rock could really use this WrestleMania match right now because his stock's down because of what happened with Black Adam and everything. And I mean, it's a built-in sold-out crowd. He could be in the last match of the show. And like, look at that big crowd I drew, which, you know,
it's in LA.
Yeah. It's an easy like PR win for him to do this. The match, not so easy. I mean, he hasn't wrestled a real match in over a decade. And, you know, last time he got hurt. So there'd be a lot riding on it. We have been on our show very skeptical for 2 years that this match would ever happen. At times when other shows were, oh, it's definitely happening, we were very much pump the brakes. I'll believe it when I see it. So it doesn't look like it's happening right now. But if it does, and they bring him out here in secret to win the Rumble, I mean, it would be quite the story that they kept that under wraps. I don't think that he really has to win the Rumble, you know, because they could do the two-night thing with Roman to set up a match. I mean, obviously, Cody makes the most sense. Sammy has a compelling case. Rock, I mean, yeah, the crowd will go nuts for in the moment, but they can get there without him winning the Rumble, even if it's a title match, because he can have Roman work both nights. Austin, look, man, you know more about Steve Austin than pretty much anybody I know, and I don't see it. What do you think?
Could he come back and work a match at WrestleMania?
Yeah. Yes.
Maybe in the Royal Rumble? Sure. I think you can spin that. But I don't see him winning the Royal Rumble and going on to have a match with Roman.
Yeah, that's what I meant. If he's going to be in the Rumble. I don't see him being in the Rumble. I don't see a match with Reigns as not at all possible. I see it as not likely, but I wouldn't be shocked to see him in a match at Mania.
That's the thing. I wouldn't either. To me, it's like, if he's going to be in the Royal Rumble and they've got that as a big surprise, okay. Like, obviously, if you can get Steve Austin, like you do it. You know, who knows what, like, if or how long he's going to be healthy for. So you go for it. But I think you use the Royal Rumble to set up whatever he would do at WrestleMania. So if that's a tag match of some kind, or if he's going to work Brock Lesnar or whoever, like, that's, I think, what you use the Royal Rumble for, to set that up. But I, you know, Roman Reigns and Steve Austin, I think, is a compelling match, but, you know, in the main event of WrestleMania for the one men's world title that you have, like, I think, like, you need to have that match be, you know, a match in the ring, inside the ropes, and be like a true championship match, because you're not going to get another one on the card. Like, Steve Austin, Roman Reigns, I don't think can have that match, that type of match at WrestleMania. The Rock, it's iffy, you know? Steve Austin can have a match with Kevin Owens where you're brawling around the arena and in the crowd. And that was great. Like, that was really, really fun. But that's, I don't know that that's like your singles men's championship match on the biggest show of the year. Like, I don't know. You may need a little bit more depth than that, but Austin can work Brock Lesnar in a style like that for sure. So that to me seems more likely. And the other nugget is, like, I don't see Steve Austin coming back and having a match in the middle of the card. You know, like,
right.
I don't think he's going to play second fiddle to Cody. I don't think he wants to play second. Certainly doesn't want to play second fiddle to The Rock. Like, you know, I think if he's going to be on the show, he's going to want a main event one of the nights, and rightfully so. He's the biggest star that they've ever had. Does he fit in that regard? If that's the reality, and, you know, yeah, they can make that work potentially. So that'd be a huge surprise for the Royal Rumble. I mean, to see him out there, even if he doesn't win, I think if you build that match the right way, you can walk out of it going, all right, yeah, Austin didn't win this, but man, like, he's heated up for something pretty cool at WrestleMania.
I like your idea of using it to set up Brock and Austin. Like, that could be a compelling WrestleMania match, because they could brawl. I don't need to see Steve Austin taking German suplexes.
They could brawl.
You know, they could work submissions. They could keep it safe for Steve. That could be a headline match, because, you know, Brock is obviously not working Roman again, for God's sakes.
Yes,
and he would want a prime spot at WrestleMania. And Steve Austin makes a lot of sense. They've got the backstory going back 20 years. I feel like Austin Reigns is a match that you would have, like, on a Saudi show. Kyle said this on our extra show the other day. That seems like one of those matches they do where they bring in a legend for a massive payday, and you have Roman beat Austin. It doesn't even have to be a title match. It could be if Roman drops the title to Cody, you know, it could be a non-title match with just, you know, Roman taking on these legends. Eventually you get to the match with The Rock and he can say he beat the biggest stars from the Attitude Era. It makes sense to do the match. I don't see it as a WrestleMania title match though. And yeah, go ahead, your thoughts on that and The Rock too. Yeah.
Oh yeah. No, I agree with you. I want to put that out there. Yeah. I don't think that's your WrestleMania match. As far as The Rock goes, like, yeah, I mean, it's always been for me too one of those things that, yeah, believe it when you see it. If WWE can get it, you go get it. And then you figure everything else out later because, you know, it's the biggest, that's the biggest match you can do. Roman Reigns versus The Rock right now, I think is like, is big. And the longer the story goes on, who knows how big that, like, I guess, you know, it could get bigger, but you, but in all likelihood, it's going to not get as big. And, you know, The Rock's not getting younger. So, I mean, if he, if it's going to be hard for him to train to get, to have a match this year, it, you know, next year is not going to be any, any easier. So
yeah,
it's been one of those things for me where it's like, if you can get him, you get him and you do that match and you do it huge. And then you, you go all in, like you put all your chips in on that and that's your main event. You're in LA, you've got The Rock. You go and, you know, you put, I mean, I think you put Reigns over in that scenario. They're lucky because they have been planting the seeds for this for 2 years that some of these other guys have fallen into place for them. Cody being one of them, like him being in WWE to even have this conversation was unthinkable a year ago, or close to a year ago. And now he's there and he's got added momentum because he's coming off injury and coming out of kind of a, I think what I think was the match of the year in 2022, the Hell in a Cell match against Seth Rollins.
Yeah.
Like you can't write that. You can't predict that you're going to have that as a backup plan to The Rock, but they do. And then you add in Sami Zayn into that. And that for sure wasn't supposed to be as hot as it is. And you've got that to go with. So, I mean, yeah, they may not have The Rock this year, and that's for sure, like, disappointing. Without question, it's disappointing, especially if you kind of had it in your, the back of your mind. But the good thing is, man, they've got two really, really solid options that I think are suitable backups that will play just fine, and albeit in a different way than The Rock would. But in a way that I think can send the WrestleMania crowd happy, home happy on Sunday night. So, I mean, can you imagine if they didn't have a hot Sami Zayn act or if Cody Rhodes wasn't going to be coming back?
If he wasn't back in time,
like, they'd be dire, in trouble. Man. Yeah, it would
It'd be dire, but they do have compelling options right now. So, yeah, you're right. They are lucky because you can make the case for Sami for sure. Yep. I do think that they should still go with Cody. I'm still on the Cody side, although, like, the Sami thing has been, I've been warming up to that because it is such an organic, like the crowd is behind him kind of thing. I heard you guys on your show, you talked about, is there a possibility that the crowd could turn on Cody because they want Sami to win? I mean, I don't think so. Like you said, it's not impossible. I think Cody's going to be so over that I don't really see that happening, but I do think they should be careful in how they book the match with who's in there at the same time when people get eliminated to avoid any kind of crowd revolt situation. But yeah, with Cody, it's just like, it seems obvious, yes, but as we said at the top of the show, many times in WWE history, the obvious winner was the right call. It was obvious. There's a good parallel here with Shawn in 96, you know, where he hadn't been world champion yet. He was coming back from being gone with the, you know, the attack that happened in Syracuse, not the same kind of injury. It was basically like he was coming off the injury. He had the fainting thing, you know, on Raw. And like very similar feeling to me. And everybody knew he was going to win the 96 Rumble and it didn't matter because that's what they needed to do. And they did it. And I feel like with Cody, he was, him and Roman were the most over guys in the promotion easily before his injury. As you said, match of the year in WWE, no question about it. He's got the built-in story from day one that he came back to get the world title. It's the most compelling match to me for WrestleMania right now with Sami coming in hot, but I still go Cody. Are you picking Cody or are you going Sami?
No, I'm picking Cody. I'm picking Cody too. For the same reasons, and I can, and I'll add in a couple others. Like, they're heavy-handed with Cody right now. I mean, like, they want you to go into this thinking that he's going to win, and not just thinking he's going to win, but for you to get behind the win. Like, mm-hmm. that's how, like, the videos are kind of teeing it up to me, like, emotionally. It's like, look at what this guy's been through. Check out that injury. Oh, here's a close-up of that thing, like, in case this? You missed yeah. it. Yeah. Like, here it is. You know, feel bad for this guy. Get behind him. Oh, mm-hmm. let's remind you of the promise that he made on his first night back that he's going to win the world title for his dad. Like, you know, and that's good booking. I think that's strong. That's a strong way to go about it. Like, you want to present that story in that way. But, man, if you present it that way and don't deliver and he doesn't, you know, he doesn't win, it's like, oh, man, all right. Should we get behind you anymore? Like that, you kind of took your shot and you missed.
Yeah.
And so I think that, like, Sammy's going to be over. Like, I don't think the Sammy thing is going away, you know, but the Cody thing can go away if you let it fall off a cliff. And so I don't know if you put the title on Cody at WrestleMania. I think that's a conversation for a WrestleMania preview show later on. And I think a lot of it will be determined as to how hot he stays, you know, after the Royal Rumble win. But I think you always have Sami Zayn. Like, that's, he's going to be there. And you can do the Roman Reigns match later on if you want to, or, you know, you can do the turn and have him team with Kevin Owens and have him wrestle the Usos. Like, that can happen, but it's absolutely paramount, because you don't know how the audience is going to react to Cody, that you factor Sami Zayn into how this match plays out, because mm-hmm. you don't know what the reaction is going to be. If that crowd is just super, you know, pro Sami, and, you know, it's Sami and Cody at the end, like, that's going to be an issue. So to me, it's, if Sami's in the Rumble, you get him in, you do whatever angle you're going to do, you get him out, and then you put Cody in there to almost fight on Sami's behalf, right? Like, if Solo is the one who takes Sami Zayn out, like, you build the story where it's Cody fighting Solo in the end to win the match. Like, I think you want to be that meticulous with how you plan that out so that you avoid any potential pushback. But yeah, I mean, it's Cody. It's Cody. And if they do it right, it's going to be a really fun night, for WWE fans, but especially fans of Cody. I mean, like, what a damn story. Like, that type of rise from, you know, stardust nobody, like, that does not happen very often in WWE. No. Where you see a guy come back from that and then win the Royal Rumble and go on to main event WrestleMania. Like, that just doesn't happen. And he's got such an interesting story with AEW and the indies and leaving. It's just, it's fascinating. And I think I can tell that all for the world to see.
I think that's the reason too, is that he got himself over. He did this himself. The whole Cody character that's over, none of it is WWE's creation. None of it. Yeah. He even has his own theme music, his own look that he developed. That's why he's gone from stardust to what he is now. WWE hasn't really been able to do that themselves. As you said, Cody did it on his own, transformed himself, and they were smart enough to let him continue the character he developed when he came back, and he's put himself in this position. People want to see him be world champion. I think the difference between, you know, you talk about the crowd revolt situation, people are really hot for Sammy turning on Roman and the Usos and what's going to happen there. It's not necessarily about him becoming world champion. So, like, if you look at the parallel with Bryan, which absolutely killed Roman Reigns, way that all played out, you know, like, in, well, 2014, he wasn't even in the Rumble, and they wanted him to win so bad because they wanted him to win the title at Mania, and they got there eventually through a crowd revolt, not the original plan. And then in 2015, you know, talking about being careful on how you book it, they weren't very careful because they put him in there and then they took him out of it. So then the crowd revolted and didn't give a shit about the match the rest of the way. And then Roman got shit on, you know? So I don't see it as a similar situation where if he's in the Rumble, you know, they haven't announced him for the Rumble. If he's in it and he gets taken out early, I don't feel it's the same thing, because he's not on this quest to become like world champion like Brian was. It's a different dynamic. I'm not saying it couldn't happen. It could. But I think people want Cody to capture the title, and it's just a whole different dynamic right now.
It is. It very much is. If you think about it, like, really the story is, like, if you listen to the crowd reaction and you listen to, like, what we saw Monday night, it's for him to stay in the bloodline. It's really, like, what we're talking about here, you know, like, right now anyway. Like, we know the next chapter at some point it's going to be, you know, he's not. But, like, for right now, when you talk about, like the heat is Reigns kicking him out of the group.
Yeah.
Like, and so that in itself is super different. Like, it's just a different thing. I don't see, you know, this isn't like, you know, part-timer coming back, you know, and stealing the thunder of, you know, like, Sami Zayn, right? Yeah. Like Batista, like, was, or it's not like, we're going to go with this guy in Roman Reigns who's not over as the biggest star, and we're going to go with him anyway, because that's what we want to do. Like, this is, I mean, if you listen to the reactions and you go with what you had with Cody, like, he was the hottest act that you had next to Roman, you know, when he left. And so, like, that's the psychology is totally different there. So I don't think they will run into issues. I'm just saying, like, I think you still want to play it safe and plan for just in case.
Yeah, I agree.
it would be really unfortunate for Cody to go out there and have this kind of storyline kick off and the crowd just crapping all over.
Agreed. Yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting. Again, this is why I'm excited for the show, because there are some interesting dynamics at play. Should make for a good watch. If they go Cody, like both of us think, it will be interesting to see, you know, what happens with Sammy, how Montreal and Elimination Chamber plays into everything. But I'm looking forward to this show, more so than any WWE show in quite some time, I have to say. So
me too. I think it's going to be compelling, even though, as we talked about at the top, a lot of these outcomes, I think, are more set than you'd like them to be, but there is intrigue around them no matter what. So that should keep everybody on the edge of their seat too.
Well, Zach, I appreciate you coming back on the show. We got to do this sooner next time. But it's always fun to have you on. Tell the listeners where they can find you and what you're up to.
Yeah. Thanks, man. This has been a blast. It's always fun talking wrestling with you, and your show is fantastic. I can't recommend it enough. You can follow me on social media at ZHeydornTorch. I usually post all my work funnels through there at some point, but really, you know, head over to pwtorch.com. We'll be covering the Royal Rumble all weekend long, and we'll have editorial columns. We've got all the news of the weekend as it rolls in for Royal Rumble. You know, if Steve Austin sets foot in San Antonio, you know, we'll make sure to let you know. You know, keep pwtorch.com top of mind. I think, you know, we do a good job covering the news the right way and get you what you need ahead of what is going to be a big weekend in WWE. Also, check us out on YouTube. So just search PW Torch on YouTube. We've worked really hard to get that channel up and running, and have created a pretty fun environment over there. We're live almost every day with different types of shows, raw previews and post shows and all sorts of fun stuff. But head over there, subscribe, and hit the little notification button so that you know when we go live, and that way you don't miss anything. But that would certainly be a big help, and certainly appreciate it. But yeah, that's it. Thanks, Ryan.
Awesome. Yeah, I would recommend it. Like I said, I tuned into your show today. I tune in pretty frequently, silently lurk most of the time on there. Once in a while, throw something in the chat. But yeah, I tune in. You guys are working really hard. You and Tyler do a great job in particular, and you've been super active. So if you like watching wrestling talk shows, check out The Torch. Those guys are doing a great job. And if you also like talking wrestling, definitely check out our Facebook group. We got a great group of people. All you got to do is search Top Rope Nation Pro Wrestling Discussion on Facebook. Zach's a member, I believe. You'll find Hip Hop in there in a while.
Yep, I'm in there
also. And as I said, we are streaming on the SC Scoops channel, but this show will also go up on the Top Rope Nation YouTube channel, and our entire archive going back to 2016 is on there. So please subscribe to our channel as well, or on the podcast feeds, you know, wherever you're listening. We appreciate all the watchers and listeners. And as I said earlier in the show, patreon.com/toprope nation, best way to support us. Tons of bonus content dropping over there all the time. So we will be back with you Sunday morning to review the Rumble here live on YouTube and all the social channels. Until then, for Zach Haydorn, I'm Ryan Droste. We'll catch you next time. Have a great weekend and enjoy the Rumble.